All right, we're going to, in this session, we're going to try to pull it all together. And hopefully we succeed at that. It's a monumental task that we're going to try to do. All right. So pulling it all together. In the first course, we emphasized the non-directive coaching. And the advantages were the client is more actively involved in his or her own problems and interests. So when you let the client figure things out, he knows more about his own problems and the things that he's really interested in, rather than me, the coach, projecting the things that matter to me or what I think is important. Two, the client often becomes more motivated to work on things if the solutions were discovered by the client. I mean, if someone comes to me, I'm the coach, and they come to me with a problem, and I give them the solution, they're less likely to follow through. You know, maybe at first they believe that the solution that I gave them is the right solution, but then they go out and try it, and the first bump in the road, the first obstacle that they meet, they'll go, well, I think the coach was wrong. They're more likely to follow through with something that they came up with. You know, they have ownership in the process. The client often takes on more responsibility for both success and failure. If I give, you know, if I, the coach, give them the solution and then they go out and it doesn't work, who do they blame? Me. But if they're the ones that figured out what the problem was and what they're going to do about it and then it doesn't work, who are they going to blame? Themselves. And then as a coach, my job is to now help them figure out another solution that they can try. And that, and over time, they discover that they can actually figure things out. Number four, the client often becomes more motivated to work on things if the solutions were discovered by them. Generally, when a person thinks that an idea is their own, they're more likely to follow through with that idea. And number five, the client often takes more responsibility for both success and failure rather than blaming the coach or others or the world or the government or society or their family or their spouse or their children or the, you know, their boss, on and on and on ago. The more directive. So now we're looking at the more directive coaching. In the second course, so that was the first course when we looked at the non-directive. In the second course, we acknowledged that oftentimes more input is needed from the coach, especially in terms of a skill or concept learning. So if someone's trying to learn a skill like writing or leading or learning an instrument or learning how to sing a part or, you know, learning how to weld or, you know, whatever it might be, a specific skill, then sometimes directive coaching is more useful. Sometimes a total coach-directed teaching is needed and is the best option. Most times, however, a semi-directed coaching approach is the best. So sometimes a total, you know, I have the skill, I'm the coach, and I know this skill. You're learning how to weld, and I have to take you and bring you through all the steps in order for you to succeed. You know, a lot of our educational systems are like that. The teacher, you know, directs every step of the way. And sometimes that's appropriate. But often, a little bit of both. A little directing and a little non-directing. There are basically three coaching approaches. One, directive coaching. 100%, I'm going to tell you how it goes as the coach. Number two, non-directive coaching. I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm going to help you figure it out. And three, semi-directive coaching, where I'm helping you figure things out for yourself, but I'm also giving you a little input, especially with skill-based objectives. Well, how do you know which approach to do when? Okay? That's really the proverbial problem. When do I do what? Directive coaching, non-directive coaching, semi-directive coaching. All right, let's look at directive coaching. Directive coaching is most effective Number one, when there is a clear link between the client's need and the coach's expertise. So if the client needs to learn how to play the trumpet, and I, the coach, know how to play the trumpet, that's a great time for directive coaching. I know the notes. I know what they are. I can teach you the notes. I can teach you the rhythm. I can teach you how to hold your mouth, or if it's the guitar, or if it's welding, or learning how to read, or learning how to read in an expressive manner. All these skill-based tasks, directive coaching might be the most effective. Directive coaching, when a client is looking to acquire a specific skill that the coach is proficient at. You know, he's good at these things. I want to learn how to be like him. Number three, when the client is willing to follow direction. Okay? Someone is motivated. I want to learn what you know, what you have, the skill that you have, and I'm motivated to do it. Okay? If the person wants to do it, they want the skill, but they're not motivated, then all the direction in the world isn't going to help. A lot of parents discover that. You know, kids say they want to learn something, and as you teach them, they don't want to follow through. They don't want to listen to you. Sometimes they think they know better. You know, when I took music lessons, I wanted to learn how to play the piano, and I finally got a music teacher. And the first thing the music teacher wanted to do is to teach me, you know, the notes on the keyboard, that this note is over here. And I said, well, why do I need to know that? I just need to know that that shape on that staff there is this note. I don't need to know the name of it. And so anyway, it didn't. our tutelage experience with the piano didn't last very long, because I wanted to learn, but I wasn't willing to be taught. I wasn't willing to follow direction. Non-directive coaching. When is it best to be used? Number one, when it's not obvious what the need or the problem is. Okay, if your client doesn't really, you know, my life is a mess and I don't know why, then how am I going to direct them? I don't even know what the problem is. So we're going to have to figure that out together, and a more non-directive approach would be the best way to go. Number two, when the client is not sure what he or she wants changed or added to his or her life. Okay, I'm unhappy, but I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want to change. Okay, so if we don't know, how can I be directive? How can I give any knowledge when we don't even know what the topic is yet? So I have to do a lot of listening. I have to help the client figure that out for themselves. I can't impose what I think the problem is. I may look at them and decide this is what your problem is, but I need to have them figure out what that is. Non-directive coaching, when the client is emotionally hurting but doesn't know why. Again, when there isn't a clear focus, when there isn't a clear thing that we can work on, we need to go down the non-directive path. How about semi-directive coaching? When do you do that? Number one, when a coach is teaching a class on a particular subject and an attendee needs coaching off from that. So I'm teaching, let's say, parenting. I'm teaching this class. I'm giving you principles about how to do this. And then in the class, someone goes, you know, that's what I need. I need to learn how to put these principles into my parenting experience. And now I sit down in a coaching relationship with this person. I go, okay, so what principle do you want to work on? Which one do you think you struggle with most? And then the person identifies it. And now I can ask, okay, I've taught you these things. How shall we get those into your life? And now I ask a bunch of questions, you know, sort of direct in a non-directive way, but it's coming off of a semi-directive. I was semi-directive in giving the teaching in the first place. So often we can start off in sort of the teaching mode. I'm teaching these kinds of things, these skills, but then as I help you apply them to your life, it may become more non-directive. Semi-directive coaching, number two, when a client seeks out the help of a coach because of a particular area of expertise. I'm seeking you out in this area of expertise, but I still don't know how to apply it to my life. So as a coach, I'm being a little directive, giving you a little bit of my expertise. But when it comes to applying it to your life, I'm being more non-directive because I don't know exactly how that's going to go. And you don't either. Okay, what all of this means for you, the potential coach? Number one, if you want to expand your coaching potential, then you must add knowledge skills that you can specifically use in the lives of people. Okay, so let's say you want to be a coach. One way to go is I'm just a non-directive coach and I have no expertise in anything. And you come and the only thing I do is help you figure out what you want to do and how to do it and how to manage, progress in that particular task. Or if I want to expand areas of expertise, I need to take classes in different areas so I am sort of knowledgeable about many things so I can at least give a little bit of information to people so I can engage in this more semi-directive form of coaching. Number two, you don't have to be an expert in order to coach people in a specific knowledge skills, but you do need to know the basics. So I don't need to be an expert at parenting, but I have to know some basics so that I can at least inform my clients about the basics of teaching kids responsibility. But then I engage in more a non-directive once we get into it, once we try to apply it to a person's life. But I have to know something about it. How do you become, at least knowledgeable about many different areas? Well, take specific coaching, knowledge, skills, classes, and we have those at Christian Leaders. Okay, we have a sort of a coaching parenting class. We have a coaching marriage class. We have a coaching finance class. We have a coaching time management classes. All these classes are specifically coaching oriented. So you're going to be learning about these specific areas, but you're going to be learning about these from the coaching perspective. Sex, we have one on sex as well. Okay. There's also a church growth series, okay? So, and this is related to coaching, but it's also related to just, learning more about these subjects, how to apply these subjects to a church that needs revitalization or a church that needs to become more healthy than it is. So I'm going to give you a list of these. These are classes that you can take. Reversing church decline. Church growth from 50 to 100. Church growth from 100 to 200. Part singing, when it comes to music, guitar, keyboard, Bible study, fellowship, sound and lights. I go to churches all the time and their lighting is horrible. The pastor has shadows under his eyes, or sometimes the pulpit area is the least lit place in the whole sanctuary, and the fatigue of the people in the congregation because of that. Sound is another problem. Building and grounds. Building and grounds is not just maintaining a building, but your building is a communication to your community. What does your building say? What's on your building? What's in your parking lot? Sermon basics, testimonies, prayer, gift-based church service. So all these things are related to church, and you can take each one of these courses and you'll have enough knowledge that you could then coach someone in these specific areas. Discipleship, leadership. Okay, so a lot of these courses are sort of already orientated towards coaching. They have that coaching element. But some of the courses we have at Christian Leaders Institute really are not coming from the coaching perspective, but they're coming from the, do you want to learn something about this subject concept? And then you can apply it to coaching. You can take all these principles that we've been talking about, non-directive, semi-directive, and directive, and use the knowledge that you learn from these classes to coach people in these specific areas. So we have a lot of mini classes on all kinds of topics. Mini classes take 3-4 hours to take in one shot. And you will have enough knowledge to maybe coach somebody in a specific area. We have a mini class on how to be a person of influence, time management, a host of others. You just go to the website, you'll see all kinds of them. Or you can adapt any Christian leader's class towards coaching. Any class that you take at all, a class is on a particular subject. And once you've taken a class, you have enough knowledge on that subject to at least put it, once again, into the coaching sort of scenario, the coaching grid, where you're trying to give enough knowledge, but not so much. You want to help people figure out things for themselves. So if you're really interested in this coaching thing, and you're moving from not just the non-directive, but towards the semi-directive, which often is a really good approach, then being knowledgeable on all, at least the basics, the basic knowledge of a lot of different subjects will then expand your opportunities to help people, because people will... You know, people have all kinds of needs and problems, and then you'll be able to respond to those needs and problems. So, you know, one of the classes that I did is on communication. I think it's an excellent, it's a 3-credit class, and it covers, you know, all forms of communication. And people struggle with communication. They struggle with public speaking. They struggle with communicating in relationships, in business situations, in leadership situations. And so this would be a basic class that you could take to learn the basics of that. Management class. I have a class on management. How do you manage people? How do you manage things? How do you get along with difficult people? So there's all the classes really at CLI will better prepare you for this more semi-directive coaching. So I encourage you to, you know, this whole coaching thing really is sort of an attitude about influencing and helping people in general. In some ways, we live in a world where people like to tell other people what to do. And I don't think that's very effective. People resist being told what to do. So if you just take all your relationships, the influence that you want to make in the world around you, whether that's your spouse or your family or where you work or your church or your evangelism, whatever it might be, and you just put this sort of coaching mentality to it. The coaching mentality is, how do I help people in the most effective way? Help them with their problems. Help them with their situation. Help them with their desire to grow in a certain area of life. It's not just the official coaching time. It's any relationship, any connection that you have with anybody. If you just start listening more, if you start seeing where people are really at, helping people figure out what their real problem is, helping people figure out what they want to do about it, and then subtly adding a little bit of information in a specific area that someone then reveals to you, you'll discover that your influence in the world that you exist in will grow, and you will feel like God is using you to make a difference in the lives of the people around you. So learn and then use these coaching principles to make a difference in the lives of the people around you.